In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, we are almost approaching the Advent season, and we are also celebrating the Novena in preparation of the Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception. Today, on this first Saturday of the month, we would like to comply with Our Lady's words at Fatima to make reparation for all sins committed against her Immaculate Heart. So please, at the beginning of this day, we make this intention clear within ourselves to be here, just bearing a little bit with the cold as well, but offering this up to her for making reparation for all sins committed against God, which wound very much Our Lady's Immaculate Heart. So this is the intention we make at the beginning of this day as we receive the sacrament of confession, the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. We have this beautiful proposal to be with Mary, our dear mother, and to work with her now in order to be able to be instruments of the salvation of many other people, many other souls. In this homily, on this first Saturday, I would like, since we are approaching now the solemnity of the Immaculate Conception, to highlight a little bit more the meaning of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, a heart immaculate. And this also, in order to see the very core of the message of Fatima, which is the heart of Mary, as it has been said clearly by many scholars of Fatima, the key factor of this beautiful message is the Immaculate Heart. All revelation of Fatima is present in this mystery, the Immaculate Heart. We have already seen the mystery of the Immaculate Heart. Today I would like to say something in order to enter deeply into this mystery seen in relationship with God the Father. The medium, so to say, the one who is right in the middle is Christ. Christ is the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, the only begotten Son of the Father, and He is the Son of Mary, He is true God and true man. So the reflection upon the Immaculate Heart of Mary enshrines this relationship between the Father and Mary, at the heart of which there is Christ. Christ is right in the middle, because He is in the middle of the Holy Trinity, between the Father and the Holy Spirit. Is the medium, the means of salvation, the mediator. Mediator means the one who stays right in the middle, to link two different extremities, two points. But now we consider Christ as he is in the middle between the Father and Mary, the Mother. He is the only begotten Son of God, the Father, since eternity, and He is the Son of Mary in the fullness of time. So the Immaculate Heart of Mary plays an important role in uniting, so to say, the eternal mystery of the Son in God, in the mystery of the Holy Trinity, with the moment of His incarnation, so the moment of His presence in the fullness of time. The Immaculate Heart of Mary is from this side, from the moment of the incarnation in the temporal moment, that what the bosom of the Father, so this eternal environment where the Son is in God, the Father. So outside God, we have the Immaculate Heart of Mary, while within God, within the Holy Trinity, we have the heart of the Father. I explain myself a little bit more. We have to consider Jesus Christ as first the only begotten Son of God, the Father. There is a beautiful text in St. John's prologue, the first chapter of St. John's Gospel, by the end of this beautiful hymn to God and to the praise of the incarnation of the Logos. The prologue of St. John ends by saying, God has never been seen by anyone. Only the Son has revealed him. Why? Because the Son dwells in God's bosom, in the bosom of the Father. By remaining within the Father, the bosom, as you know, is the intimate side of a person. While the Son dwells intimately in the Father, because he is the Son, the expression of the Father, so he has revealed God while becoming incarnate. So the Son is the revelation of the Father, but the Son is able to reveal the Father because he abides in God's eternal bosom. There is another beautiful expression from the letter to the Hebrews. The letter to the Hebrews, the first chapter of this letter, is describing the mystery of God, the Son, who has revealed again the mystery of the eternal Father in heaven. In order to highlight the relationship between the Father and the Son, the letter to the Hebrews says that the Son is literally the imprint of God's substance. Imprint. This is the literal, this is the word of the text. We normally translate with figure, the figure of his substance, but literally there is a big difference between imprint and figure. To have a figure, an image, you can draw something by looking at an image. So there is a distance between me drawing something and an image. But the imprint has a contact with the image to reproduce. So there is, so to say, a physical contact between the Father and the Son. There is an intimacy because the Son is generated eternally by the Father. He proceeds from the Father. He is the imprint of his substance, consubstantial, we say, in the Creed with the Father. So this is the definition of the Son, the definition of this relationship between the Father and the Son. The Son is the expression, the imprint of God's eternal substance. So this is possible because, again, the Son is within the Father, and the Father is generating, is expressing himself by producing, so to say, the Son, by generating, this is the word, generating the Son. So you see this relationship. This is, in a way, to translate it in more human way, we have to say this is possible because the Father and the Son are one, and the Son dwells in the Father's bosom, the Father's heart. So, if the son is always in his father's bosom, heart, intimate, mystery, because he proceeds from him, we come now in the moment of Christ's incarnation. In our time, we are thinking of God within himself, the Holy Trinity outside time. Let's come now to the moment of the incarnation, the fullness of time. What does it express properly? The fact that the Son has to become man. We can compare then the Immaculate Heart of Mary outside God in the time to the bosom of the Father within God. In order to generate a Son who is true man and true God, something like the bosom of the Father is needed outside God. This is the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the reproduction, so to say, of this eternal bosom, eternal heart, from where the Son proceeds eternally. There should be an environment outside God which is close, as close as possible to God the Father in heaven. So the Immaculate Heart is the dwelling place, the only fitting dwelling place of the Son outside God. This is the reason God chose the Immaculate Heart to be incarnate. There is no other place to take our flesh than this worthy Immaculate bosom of Mary. As Christ has only one Father in heaven, he has one Mother on earth. So you see, the Father in heaven and the Mother on earth come together, so to say, by sharing the same bosom. The bosom, the eternal bosom, has to be adopted by Mary, and to be then the place where the Word became flesh. This is the Immaculate Heart of Mary. When we meditate upon this Immaculate Heart, let us always see the fittingness of this creation, the Immaculate creation of this heart, in order to see the possibility for God to be outside the Father without leaving the Father. You know, the Son is outside God because he became incarnate, but he's always the Son of God. So this is the importance of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. It is not only something devotional, something sentimental. It is doctrinal. There is no other possible environment, again, to welcome the eternal Word of the Father than this Immaculate, pure heart of Mary. This is the reason why I said at the beginning the whole message is summarized. The whole message of Fatima is summarized by the mystery of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So let's now, in order to conclude our reflection, think a little bit more of the presence of Christ in this Immaculate Heart of Mary. Christ is present in his Father's eternal bosom, but he is present in his Mother's Immaculate Heart. How is he present? Let's now look at the moment of the incarnation, when the Word has to become flesh. What's the possibility for the eternal Word to become flesh. He has no flesh. God is has no flesh. God is spirit. In order to become man, he needs the cooperation of this woman. He needs her yes, her consent, in order to take a human flesh. But the consent of Mary is first, a consent with her mind, her soul, her intellect, her will. A lady saying, yes. She is, so to say, adoring the word. That word that she has to generate according to human flesh. So a lady is, while consenting to that mystery, yes, I am the handmaid of the Lord, she's adoring that word. She's already welcoming that word first in her heart, in her soul, in her mind, in her bosom. You see, there is a generation which is very, very similar to the generation of the Son from the Father in heaven. This generation happens while a lady is saying yes, is obeying God, obeying his salvific will. So a lady is generating Christ first with her heart. Christ dwells in her immaculate heart, takes flesh in her obedience, and then Christ is present in her womb. He becomes incarnate. He takes on our flesh. This is possible because Our Lady is completely open to this mystery. So the first incarnation takes place where? In Our Lady's immaculate heart. And the same is for us. God can be incarnate in our lives if we consent with our freedom to his salvific plan. If we say, yes, here I am to do your will. If we say yes, as Our Lady did, God becomes incarnate in our lives. But this incarnation takes place where? In our hearts. Heart is not a sentimental figure of love and feelings. No, heart, the word heart, describes the mystery of the person, the place where the person properly lives, your soul, your spiritual life. So, you see, if we are devoted to Our Lady, to her immaculate heart, we become like her. We become this presence of God in the world, but the presence of God in our hearts. So our hearts are transformed into this place, into this dwelling place of the mystery. This is the reason God chose Our Lady at the beginning, in order to prepare a dwelling place for him in mankind. He becomes flesh in order that all people of good will may become abode of this mystery in the world. So that first and unique abode of God has to be, had to be immaculate, without any stain of sin. That heart had to be completely of God, belonging to him always, in any moment, without any compromise with sin, with a way to say, no, I do not obey God. This is not the way to be saved, of course, but this kind of freedom, rejecting the truth, rejecting God, does not belong to her. To her belongs only the way to be with God in order to prepare a possible salvation for all other children of God who become children in Him. So let us praise the majesty of God, His infinite goodness and providence for choosing the Blessed Virgin Mary as the Immaculate Conception, for forming at the beginning of our salvation this Immaculate Heart, the abode, the only possible abode of God outside the Trinity, outside the mystery of God. So there is one possibility to meet our Lord in this world, Our Lady. Our Lady is then the figure of the Church. With Our Lady the Church is prepared, with Our Lady the sacraments, instruments of salvation are laid out in order to bring all people into this bosom. And in fact, the Church is a bosom, a salvific bosom. This would not happen without that initial bosom of salvation, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. We now renew our consecration to her Immaculate Heart, and we, while meditating on this mystery, we again praise the infinite goodness of our Lord for giving us this special Mother. Let us treasure this relationship with her, salvific one. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.